I was reading about a pastor who spoke at a pastor's meeting. He was an old fellow, older, who stood up to testify about his faith. He said, "I am a lay pastor of a small, not growing church. I'm not ordained. I'm not seminary trained. I was asked to leave both Bible colleges I attended. I am divorced and remarried. And on any given day, I'm capable of being a jerk with my wife and family. I am terminally insecure, which causes me to compensate with bouts of arrogance. At times, people irritate me and I hide from them. I'm impulsive, which causes me to say things I shouldn't and make promises I cannot keep. I am inconsistent. My walk with Christ is a stuttering, stumbling, bumbling attempt to follow Him. At times, His presence is so real, I can't stop the tears, and then, without warning, I can't find Him. Some days, my faith is so strong and immovable, and some days, my faith is weak, pathetic, helpless, knocked about like a paper cup floating on an ocean in the middle of a hurricane. I have been a Christian for 45 years. I am familiar with the vocabulary of the faith, and I'm often asked to give advice about matters of faith, but I am still a mess. I am light years away from being able to say with Paul, 'Copy me.' I am 56 years old and still struggling, a flawed, clumsy, unstable follower of Jesus, a bona fide failure." How many of us, friends, honestly have felt like this pastor? Have you ever felt like you've let someone down? A spouse, a parent, a child, a friend? It's not the best feeling in the world. Especially when you boasted how they could beyond a shadow of a doubt, they could depend on you, that you will never leave, that you could be trusted, that you will never let them down. But you did. Now, to disappoint someone, friends, who loves you hurts. But to disappoint the one who laid down his life for you, that's painful. Just ask Peter. Peter is a classic example of such a person. His life was one of ups and downs, and after boasting he would never leave Jesus, he did. Listen to what he said to Jesus before the crucifixion. He said in Luke 22:33, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." But Peter watched from a distance, friends, as Jesus is led away. He followed close enough to see Jesus, but not to be seen with Jesus. And as Jesus is being tried in this makeshift court of high priest, Peter stood outside and he chose to warm himself by the fire, and three times he is recognized. Three chances he had to make a bold stand for Jesus, and three times he messed up. He denied knowing Jesus. But you are saying, "But Keith, isn't he the fellow that said, 'Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death'?" Now he says, "I don't know who that fellow is. I don't know know who Jesus is? He denied knowing Jesus when the rooster crowed. He wept bitterly, a bona fide failure. Bona fide means genuine, real thing. He's the real thing. He is a genuine failure. Yet 3 days later, friends, the woman come with amazing news. They tell these disciples, the tomb is empty and Jesus is risen. Peter is elated. He is excited. But I wonder what was going through his mind. Then, I love this. This is the only of the four Gospels. This is the only one where you find this. Then in Mark's account of the events following the resurrection, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene and says in Mark 16:7, but go and tell the disciples and Peter to go into Galilee. Did you see that, friends? Notice how the Lord singled Peter out. Hearing this from Mary Magdalene, Peter was glad that Jesus was alive. But how would their relationship be? Did Peter go too far away to return? And friends, perhaps you can put yourself in Peter's place this morning. You have sinned and went away from God, and now you wonder, can God still love me after all I have done? Is there still a place and purpose for me in his kingdom? This morning, friends, I want us to look at the event where Jesus appears to the disciples for the third time, and he confronts Peter. We're going to read John 21:1-6. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two others of his disciples were together. Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? The NIV and the New Living Translation says, have you caught any fish? Their answer is, no. He said to them, cast your net to the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast. And now they were unable to draw in it in because of the multitude of fish. Let's look at verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Withdrawing, friends, or going back to the old ways. The old ways before we met Jesus always seems to be the best thing to do when we are down and out. That night while fishing, they caught nothing. Peter's probably thinking, I can't even succeed at my old job. Suddenly, out of the morning mist, the voice called out, have you caught any fish? No, was the simple reply. And I think it said in a tone that showed a hint of exhaustion, an edge of irritation, and a trace of embarrassment. How that question must have hurt Peter. Yeah, he is an experienced professional fisherman, and yet he has nothing to show for it. But the voice suggests they cast their nets to the right side of the boat. Who is telling Peter how to fish? He's thinking, man, I used to fish in these waters before you even knew the word fish. Like Peter, we all get touchy. We get touchy about our failures, and when someone tries to help, we thank them to mind their own business. Nevertheless, the disciples listen, and there is a miraculous catch of fish, 153 to be exact. About then, one of the disciples make a miraculous discovery and tell Peter, "It is the Lord! It is the Lord!" That was just like Jesus, there to help. There when Peter needed him the most. There when Peter had lost his joy. Have you noticed up till now, friends, and I know your mind is working like crazy, the similarities between Peter's first calling to follow Jesus in Luke chapter 5 and this account? Both of these accounts happened on the Sea of Galilee. Both times Peter fished all night and caught nothing. Both times Jesus told him to cast their nets into the water. And both times there was a miraculous catch. Sometimes when you have fallen, it's good to go to where it all began. Andre Crouch, some of us remember the singer from way back. Andre Crouch sings a song called "Take Me Back." Yeah, the words of the first verse. "Take me back, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed." And yeah, Jesus is going to offer Peter another starting point. He was going to offer Peter a second chance to make things right. And in our Bible verses today, in verses 9 to 14, tells us that Jesus cooked and served some breakfast. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." And Simon Peter, man, this was like a hooligan kind of a guy. He was a rough diamond. I love Simon Peter. He went up and he dragged the net to land full of large fish. 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is how the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. They were sharing a meal together. And around that meal, they were sharing their lives once again. Friends, Jesus eats with those who fail. And he wants to do the same because we all fail at times. In Revelation 3 verse 20, Jesus said to a group of Christians, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me." Jesus said this to the Laodicean church in Revelation 3, verse 14 to 22. Why? They had grown lukewarm, friends. They became lukewarm and indifferent and casual and lackadaisical. They were lukewarm in their commitment to Jesus Christ and were in danger of losing their testimony. Even so, Jesus says to them, let's eat together. Let's fellowship together. Let's share our lives together. He says, I am knocking. I am knocking on the door of your heart. If anyone hears my voice, in other words, while he's knocking on the heart of the door of my heart, he's calling, Keith. You see that? So anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat, fellowship, be with, and he with me. Friends, that's his invitation to all who have failed him and all who are at times lukewarm in their commitment to him. You say, wait, kid, I'm always on fire for the Lord. And I say, oh, awesome, well done. But if you like me, there are times when we struggle, when we are lukewarm. But Jesus doesn't reject you when you fail. On the contrary, he says, let's get together. Let's do this thing. Then after breakfast, he turns to Peter and says, come along with me. We need to talk. And I suppose they walked in silence for a while. Not far, just a few steps away. Peter didn't know what to expect. He was full of doubts concerning where he stood with his master. I suspect he feared the day when Jesus might say something like, Peter, why did you deny me? He's thinking that's coming. I can almost imagine what's going through his mind. What is it with Jesus? How come there's no words of condemnation? How come he's not yelling at me for denying him? How come he's not asking about my failure? Peter is saying, Lord, say something. Say something before my heart bursts with the stress of my guilt. Someone wrote a poem called Peter's Cry. Listen to this poem called Peter's Cry. I strive towards light, just to end in darkness. I strive to give my best, just to end up with my worst. I strive to love my neighbor, just to end up coveting his possessions. I strive for a life of purity, just to end up in a life of sin. I cry to God, how can you use me? I fail so much. His answer comes, and with it peace. It's for these very reasons, my love, I've made you a child of grace. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Yet our Lord, friends, had too much compassion to push the knife of guilt deeper into Peter's heart. Rather, his goal was to remove Peter's guilt, to perform a deep soul surgery and effectively cut the pain and the ache out of Peter's heart. Now we come to verse 15 to 19. We read, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, listen to the name, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said it to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Notice, friends, the name change. Did you notice the name change? Jesus doesn't refer to him as Peter, Peter the Rock, but simply as Simon. You see, the title of Peter no longer fitted. A rock is strong and above all dependable, and Peter certainly wasn't dependable. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? More than what? More than the fish? No. This is a reference to Peter's boasting in the upper room when he stated that even if everyone else, you see these other fellows, yeah? See, if anybody else, hey, if anyone else will flee, not me, I will never. Peter had been boastful and Jesus is asking him now. So Peter, so Simon, are you still willing to make that claim? And Peter wasn't. He responds by saying, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. No comparisons this time. No boasting of how his level of commitment is superior to anybody else's. Simon, through his mistake, had learned humility. And he realized that maybe he wasn't as strong as he thought he was. Peter, friends, was sure that he would never do what he did. And many of us make the claim that we will never find ourselves in the sins committed by other people. I'll never do that. I'll never do that. But we never know, friends. And that is why we should always be vigilant, always on guard. David never thought that he would commit adultery. Hey? Solomon never thought that he'll get caught up in idolatry. And Peter never thought that he would deny knowing Jesus Christ. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, if you think you are standing strong, you should be careful not to fall. Isn't that true? You know, it's amazing how we as Christians, we look at other Christians and we say, that's wrong, I'll never do that, they did that, I'll never say that, and so on. And the Bible say, wait, hang on, buddy. Hold on. Be careful not to fall. Peter was overconfident. But Peter learned that he wasn't as strong as he thought, that his failure made him become humble and honest about his spiritual condition. And this is most evident in the word exchange between Jesus and Peter. Do you know in the Greek, there are three words for our one word love. The first is eros. which is a physical love, and it's from that word we get a word erotic from, and it can be compared to lust. The second kind of love is filial, which means brotherly love. The city of Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. And we can compare it with the word like. The final word of love, or the final kind of love, is agape or agape love. And this is the unconditional self-sacrificing love, which means the complete devotion to someone. And when Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He uses the word agape. And when Peter responds in an honest fashion, he says, "Lord, you know I love you," but he's using the word filio. "You know I like you." Do you see that? Peter is simply being honest here. He wasn't trying to be smart. No, he's being honest. He wasn't quite at the level of love yet. Friends, how often are you honest about your spiritual condition? The absence of honesty is detrimental to any relationship. If a person fails to acknowledge that everything is not okay, then trouble starts to brew. Sometimes one person may be ignorant of the problem existing within the relationship because the other person wasn't honest about their feelings. An old farmer and his wife were leaning against the edge of the pig pen when the wife said, "Homer, let's have a party. It's our golden wedding anniversary. Let's kill a pig." The farmer scratched his head. "Gee, Ethel," he finally answered, "I don't see why the pig should take the blame for what's up for something that happened 50 years ago." Honesty about strength and health of a relationship is important, friends. But how often are we truly honest about our condition? A man sits talking to his friend from outer town. He has been passed over for a promotion for the third time. His career has stalled. And with his company downsizing, he fears a layoff at any moment. And when his friend asks, "So Frank, how's it going at work?" Frank says, "Fine, just fine." A Christian arrives at the church one Sunday morning, and as he enters, he feels that God is a million miles away. He no longer has an urge to pray. He no longer has a hunger for the word of God. He has for weeks now known that the cancer is eating away at his body, and he feels God has betrayed him. He is mad, and at times a stray thought or two has crossed his mind that maybe, just maybe, there is no God. And yet, that Sunday morning when the pastor says to him, "How are you doing, brother? Hey, how's it with your soul this morning?" And he replies, "Fine, just fine." Let me ask you, how is it with your relationship with God and with your soul this morning? Is it fine? It's okay to be honest. You know why? The church is not a pretty place for fine people. It is a place for hurting people in need of grace and assistance. And when we come together, we do so to help each other grow in the faith and to grow closer to God. But we need to admit that we need help.
Amen.
Do you agape me or agape me? Actually, no. I'm not there yet. But I want to be. I still feel attached to doing wrong and I need help. And when we do that, God says, yes. Good. Now we can work on fixing that. Three times Peter failed. And three times he is restored. He said, I don't know Jesus. Three times. And Jesus restored him by asking him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And every time he said yes, he was being restored. Did you see that, friends? And you know what? When the other disciples heard that, they all knew that Peter, the rock, was back. Peter had been restored. Let me conclude by saying, friends, and giving you some points that you can leave with this morning. Number one, no matter how bad your past may be, Jesus stands not only ready to forgive you, but to restore you. Amen. He can restore you and use you mightily for his glory. Some of the best preachers I have heard speak were some of the worst sinners you can find. But Jesus cleansed them, forgave them, restored them. And even if you are a bona fide failure, a genuine, a real failure, Jesus stands ready to forgive, to restore you, and to use you in his kingdom. Second point, friends, if you are going to be restored, then you must be honest about your spiritual condition. Some of you here today, you are not fine. See, well, I can always just brush that aside. I'm fine. No, you're not. You know it. The Holy Spirit pointed it out to you this morning. You are not fine. And friends, you lack the commitment to Jesus and to his church. So the first thing you must do is to admit it. Admit it. I'm not fine. I need help. Third, realize that when you are honest with God, be prepared for God to be honest with you. And when he speaks to us from his word or through the preaching of his word, it's not always an easy thing for us to take. But we have to, friends. Listen how this whole story ends. John 21, 20 and to 22. Then Peter turning around. He saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. That was what the term they used for John. Following, who also had leaned on the breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? That's what John said. Peter, seeing him, said, ha, wait now. But Lord, what about this man? Got you. Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And sometimes, friends, when the Lord is speaking to us and the Holy Spirit's ministering to our heart, we're looking around for company. What about him? What about her? What about them? And the Lord says, be that as it may, you follow me.
That's right.
Don't worry. about my plan for anyone else. You follow me, and I'll make you the person I called you to be. Jesus restored Peter to total and complete faithfulness. And that's what Jesus wants to do for you and me. Just like Peter, sometimes we fail God too, friends. Even strong believers can often wander away from the Lord. But Jesus is reaching out to us today to pick us up, to cleanse us, to restore us, friends. No matter how many times you've come to Him for forgiveness, I don't know if you like me, you've asked Him last week to forgive you for a certain thing, you went back to that same thing, now you're coming to ask for forgiveness again. It doesn't matter how many times you have fallen. The Lord is waiting with open arms to welcome you. There's grace in getting back up. The last verse today is Proverbs 24:16. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Don't stay down, friends. Come on. Don't stay down. God is a God of second chances and fresh starts. He is ready to forgive you when you come to Him. No matter how far you've fallen, God can still rescue you. Your past is erased in God's sight. By Jesus' death on the cross, you can be justified. By His resurrection, you can have abundant life. Isn't that marvelous? That's the best thing you heard today. Jesus turns failures into people or faithful followers of Himself. So if you have failed the Lord, come back to Him this morning. Come to fellowship with the Lord and let Him feed you. Confess your failure to the Lord and let Him affirm you. Commit to following the Lord and let Him restore you. I was reading this author, revivalist who lived a while back. I like, his name was Vance Havner. He once put it this way. He said, God uses broken things, broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength, and it is the broken alabaster box that gives for perfume. Yes. Isn't that true, friends? It is Peter weeping bitterly who returns to greater power than ever before, Vance Havner put it. Friends, come back to Jesus today if you're struggling. Eh? But be honest about it. Yeah, say, I'm sorry, but see, Johnny, he's worse than me. No. The Lord is saying, wait, hang on, buddy. You follow me. Come back to Jesus and let Him turn your brokenness into great blessing. Jesus is not done with us yet, friends. It is at those moments of failures in our lives that Jesus appears to us and asks, do you love me? You notice He doesn't ask, what have you done? He doesn't ask, how did you fail? He asks, do you love me? Isn't that special, friends? Isn't that great? He seeks our love, not our success. Of all the things He could ask us, He asks if we love Him. And He wants us to love Him. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. awesome in this place, mighty God. You have seen us struggle along the way. Lord, you have seen our hurt. You have seen our guilt. And Lord, you are here to restore us, Lord. Just like you did Peter. Peter wasn't perfect by any means. Just like us. But Lord, you reached out to him. You were very specific. Tell the disciples and Peter to come to Galilee. Father, you look across the audience today, and sometimes people don't even want to put up their hand in need of prayer. But Lord, humble our hearts today. Let us take stock of our lives. Let us see where we stand with you this morning. And Father, while you yearn, moving by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will reach out and say, Lord, touch me. Restore me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to come and let's sing a song.